This episode of the Within the Trenches podcast is sponsored by Indiana Nina as well as InDigital Telecom.
Warning, this episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Mic check one, check two. Okay, that was mine. Now you guys.
Hello, Ricardo.
All right, that'll do.
Hello. His name is Ricardo.
His name is Ricardo.
Rico.
Suave.
Ale, Arica,
yeah. Yeah, screw that guy.
Is that your brother?
Why you gotta be like that?
From another mother.
That's right, man. Jeez. This is, all right. That's how this is gonna start. Okay. I might have to use this. In a big group, and you see somebody start running, I'm not going to ask questions. I'm going to run. I'm just going to take off, and then when we get to the end, it's like, okay, so what were we running from?
What was that all?
Yeah, like, I don't know. I've actually always wanted to try that as like a social experiment. Go into like a Walmart or a Meijer or something and have a group of people with me, and then just start running through the aisles, like taking off and running outside. See how many people run with us.
I think that's a great experience. I think we should try it tonight during the vendor time.
Can you imagine? Just have someone make one loud noise and then people just start running.
Oh! What kind of loud noise are you going to make?
We can make you fart. I don't know. It's, you know, something.
Never trust a fart, dude.
Exactly. Exactly. Because you don't want a shart.
Exactly. Then you got to jettison your underwear and all that stuff. And you got...
What is that?
Jettison your underwear. You don't want to keep them. They're dirty. Wrap them up in... It's tin foil and
gross. I'm never gonna eat moose tracks again. This is awesome because all of this I have been recording. So
great.
Sorry. Well, it's been mostly me.
Sorry,
saying, it's been mostly me saying crap. You
go ahead and send in your email now to. Say, Brian, you just don't want to listen to this one.
Mm-hmm. All right, so here we go.
From either one of us, yeah.
I don't even know if I'm going to be able to do the intro. All right. Good afternoon and welcome back to another episode of Within the Trenches. This is going to be episode 83. I'm Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network. And I usually do an intro or something, but I'm not going to because it has taken me long enough to get one of these people on this damn podcast. So, and don't worry, I'll have a warning in the beginning so that they'll hear that, you know, if they don't want to hear adult humor and adult language and all that awesomeness, they don't have to listen. But this is going to be good. So with me today, my special guests, I have Ty Wooten, who's the Nina Education Director. How's it going?
Great. How are you?
I am doing well. And then I have Raw Big Mac McMullen.
Yeah. So the crowd goes wild.
Exactly. And he's the Nina North Central Region Director and Director of Vigo County 911, even though a couple of people that I spoke to yesterday on the podcast said it was Vigo.
We go through this every time I'm on because I'm kind of a regular. And this is, I need one more for like my fifth timer club.
To get a special pin or something?
I don't know. I might have to do that.
Because I'd be probably the first one.
Nice. So give you like a rusty nail or something. That's actually something else, isn't it? That means two things. I'm not going to give you that.
No, that's why I was like...
That's why you made that look and picked your nose. All right. So,
yes, some people say Vigo, some people say Vigo. Yeah, we talk about it all the time.
I was going to say, I'll buy you one of those little bottles of like Jack Daniels or something, but you don't even drink. No, so exactly. I'll buy you, you know what? I'll hook you up with a bottle of water.
I can do that. Can it have our...
Yes.
Our conference water.
Yeah, it'll have that on there.
We got special conference water up here.
Yeah, that'll do. That'll do.
And you put a rusty nail in it.
No, I'm Google.
You're going to Google it to find out what that is?
Because I'm not sure if that's it. Because there's a rusty trombone. I'm not sure about the rusty nail.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah. I don't know, man. It goes to the urban.
Is that a drink?
I'm looking negative.
The urban dictionary. Urban dictionary. We'll have it for sure. It's just like the old Tokyo Sandblaster.
Exactly.
That's
the Cleveland Steamer.
Yeah. I've never heard that before. Well, this has taken an interesting turn for this episode. And the best turn to have you on for the first time.
And we haven't finally gotten started
yet. I know, we haven't gotten started. No, this is good stuff. I'm glad that we're finally able to do this because we've been talking for a while now.
Well, exactly. We've been trying to do this for the better part of a year.
Yeah, pretty much.
And every time we've tried, something has gotten wrong with our schedules and we haven't been able to do it. And annual conference is very difficult for me to try and carve out some time. So,
oh yeah, of course. You guys are running around like crazy and it's nuts.
I think we're so happy to have you there. We're happy to have you and Fletch both there. And so it's, we're excited to have you back again this year.
That's good. That's great. We have a good time every time we do it. And hopefully this time, though, I won't get bombarded with this. I don't know if it was a homeless person or, oh my God.
there's also a cocktail that's called the Resting Inn.
Yes, oh, I was correct.
Interesting. Wow. I don't know where to go with that one. I mean, I did, but I'm going to keep it somewhat clean. I won't keep it as rusty. So, when we were in Nashville, there was this gentleman who walked up while I was trying to record an episode with Dispatch Dana. And,
I was talking to her yesterday.
So we're there and we're trying to record this episode and everything. And this guy, he walks by the table and sees my screen that says, McMullen over here was making fun of me about. He's like, he can't afford a backdrop. So he's got a monitor there. I was like, what a punk, man. Like this guy. Yeah. So he was making fun of me about it, but it said, stop in to tell your 911 story.
Right.
Well, I wasn't thinking about the fact that there was going to be other people walking through there that are not with 911 or dispatching or anything like that. And this guy, I see him walk by and I see him read the screen. Whoop. Turns back around and comes off onto the left side of me where my wife was sitting.
Wifey.
Yes. Wifey. And they're talking and stuff and the mic over on that side is hot.
Whoopsie.
Yeah. And we're doing this episode and I'm telling her, I'm like, I'll edit this part out, you know, just, you know, pull the cord. Well, what I completely forgot was that I had the phantom power going through my mixer for one of the mics. So when she pulled it out, it was like, boom, it like popped and crackled. And it was just like, like, all right, well, that just completely screwed that one up. And I said, are you going to be here tomorrow? You have time? And she's like, yeah, we can do it over. I mean, we were halfway through it when this guy sat down. So I had to write down all the questions and everything that I asked her and do it all over the following day. But this dude, I mean, he was talking to my wife that whole time. And when Dana left, I stopped and I stood up and I was like, okay, well, you know, what's going on? And I turn around and he goes, yeah, you know, Ricardo, I want to talk to you. And my wife walks by me and she looks at me and she's like, good luck. And I was like, what the crap? I was like, what's going on? I was like, why didn't you give him like a Dusty Rhodes elbow drop or something, you know, some pile driver or something.
And you wonder why we always start talking about wrestling stuff.
Well, yeah. Cause you said that was going to be your wrestling name was Big Mac.
Yeah, that's true.
I remember that episode.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah, that was a good one. But so I start talking to him and stuff and he goes, he was telling me this whole story. I mean, he talked to me for about 30 minutes. And by that time, I should have just had him sit down and do a stupid episode because even though it had nothing to do with 911, because he was telling me all this like hardship stuff. And, you know, he was going to court and he's doing all this other stuff. He said he was from New York, but he was in Nashville for court with a client or something and he was getting screwed over. And he's like, can you help me at all? And I said, I don't know what I can help you with, man. What do you want me to do? And he goes, well, I saw your sign and it says that you're interviewing people, you know, help me get my story out there. This is my 911 story. And I was like, whoa, this is supposed to be for like dispatch, 911 dispatch stories. And he goes, well, can't you just, you know, you can help me out, right? And I was like, I don't think I can. I don't know. And he grabs my business card and he goes, well, I've got your phone number now. And I was like, oh no. And he goes, here's my number. And I looked into it and I didn't find nothing. Yeah. And he did have a pretty snazzy Galaxy S5 phone. So I don't know where that came from or what. I don't know. Maybe he was just crazy. I don't know. But He was leaving.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, he was leaving. Finally, he's leaving. And he ends up saying to me, you know, I don't think you'll call me back. He goes, but I'm going to call you. He goes, and I'm going to see if you can help me. And I was like, okay. It was the last time I saw him. However, last week when I was in Sacramento and we were flying out, I could have swore that it was him sitting two seats ahead of me. I mean, I was freaking out. I was telling Eric. I was like, that's that guy. I was like, that's him. Because the dude was looking back at me and he was dressed the same and everything.
Like he remembered you.
Yes. Yeah. He probably pulled out my card and was like, I got you.
I've been following you for a year.
Yeah. You know what? I was freaked out so much that I went up to the expo hall there in the convention center and I went to Mark and Eric and they said, so how was the last episode that you recorded? I was like, I have to do it over, but you guys need to change my phone number. I was like, because this guy took my business card. And I told him the whole thing. And they're like, well, you know, if he starts calling you, then we'll change it. Because, you know, all the industry partners had my phone number already.
Right.
He never called. That still hasn't
thank
called.
Thank God.
Yeah. And, you know, he could be a listener of the show. Hi, guy.
I don't think.
If well, you're listening. Be.
maybe he used your card for something else, though.
Why you got to do that?
He could have wrote a number on the back of it and he gave it to somebody else. He wrote his number on the back of it for some chick he met.
So all my information is just floating around there somewhere.
Google it.
Google does everything.
Yep.
Well, so as we said earlier, you know, I've been trying to get you on the show for a while now. And what I didn't know in the beginning, because people were saying, how come you haven't had Ty on? I was like, I've been trying to get him on, but our schedules just, they're not mixing right. You know, for the longest time I was going up to the UP
right.
Almost every other week and you're flying everywhere. And so we couldn't get time to do it face to face or even on Skype or anything like that. Yeah. But they were telling me that you came from the chair and then all the way up to where you're at now. So how did you even get started into dispatching? What was your, you know, why did you want to get into it?
Well, I didn't realize what I was getting into. Actually, I thought I was had applied to Hancock County, which is just east of Indianapolis, the sheriff's department there, and started out as a jail communications officer, mm-hmm. Thinking that, you know, maybe I would get on the road, thinking that I wanted to be a deputy. And after I started in, I did my time in jail, behind bars, my work release. Then I.
Criminal.
Yes. Went in, worked, and then was released at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Then I had the opportunity to sit down and dispatch, and I really fell in love with it. And from that point on, I really didn't look back. That was where I wanted to be and where my focus was. And I got connected very early on in with Nina and became a member and started going to a lot of the chapter events here in Indiana. And, you know, just really these people and so many of the people that have been presidents and parts of the board for so many years, dating back 20 years when I first came on, were the ones that really got me to where I am today. Mm-hmm. Without them and their guidance and their mentorship and all of those things, and just, you know, having that person that you can go reach out and talk to at any moment, that's what has gotten me to where I am. And it's a lot of what's happened here, you know, right here at Indiana NINA Conference. It all started here in 1996, 1995.
Nice. So when you first went to dispatch center, what was that like for you? I mean, were you taken back by, you know, what it looked like in there and maybe the chaos, or how did that affect you?
It was, to me, it was so unique and so awesome. The ability to take these really crazy situations, uh-huh. and make sense out of them and make it so that everything just kind of flowed evenly. And there was not a big, it was a traumatic situation on the other side of the phone and mm-hmm. on the other side of the radio, but in that center, it was a well-oiled machine. And that's what was really cool to me.
That's the best.
And that was what, and, you know, made me want to go in there. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, going in was maybe not the best situation, right? I often tell a story about I had to take 40 hours of training to learn how to handle and manage inmates in the jail. Mm-hmm. But at the time when I started in dispatch, there was no training. It was all on the job. And really, it came down to, oh, you care, you're in dispatch today. And you might have sat there with somebody or maybe not, depending on what shift you were on. And you just started answering the calls. And
that's crazy.
And my first one was a terrible call.
Mm-hmm.
It was a woman who called to say that her husband had just shot himself in the head in front of her and her son on the couch. And I had no idea what to do. And, you know, honestly, it's not been until about the last 3 or 4 years where I've actually been able to talk about it.
Wow.
I really had kind of parceled it away in my head and really had just kind of forgotten about it. And somebody started asking, you know, what was your first call? And then it kind of flooding back. And it took me a while to kind of get over it and be able to talk about it. But it also then spurred that thought that we really need to get to a point where national training requirements are a part of the conversation.
Right.
And so, you know, when I had the opportunity to be, get the position at NENA, that has become one of my key points that we need to try and get done. And so, that has been a journey that's been going on and continues to go on, but progress is being made and we're moving in the right directions.
That's awesome. So how many years total have you been in public safety then?
21.
21.
Like a month starts my 21st year.
Man. And does it keep just getting better as you go along?
It does. Every year is a little bit better. I'm so blessed and so fortunate for the ability to have this position, and being able to do what I am able to do at National Headquarters, and have what I think is a small impact on the overall 911 industry. It's great. I love my job, and I'm very blessed.
What do you think of the amount of traveling you have to do?
it's good.
It's 2015. Don't you think we should have some sort of like teleportation device or something?
I wish we did.
Right?
How
good would
really
that be?
Like Star Trek stuff?
Exactly. Yes, like that. Not like Spaceballs.
No,
not like that one.
Although that RV would be fun.
That would be cool. Yes.
That'd be much better. What would you need a teleportation? I mean, why?
Like next week, Texas NENA, well, that I was going to, I could just have my bags and just hit something be there.
I follow you. I was not paying attention.
I know. What the hell? Come on, guy.
Sorry. Just here for backup.
Get your stuff together.
He's heard my story before, so he's kind of zoned out on that.
So with this week being National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week, what is NENA doing? Like, what are you guys doing, you know, nationally? Or internationally, the way you were saying, you know, are you guys doing anything special or anything? You have any documents going out, you know, because you were talking about education. So does that, you know, all mix in there?
Or? Well, you know, April is also 911 Education Month, Public Education Month.
Yeah,
so
obviously
we're a big partner in the overall education front and the group, the consortium of public educators that is together. You know, NENA plays a critical part in that. And, you know, we're continuing that conversation on an annual basis. This year for National Public Safety Telecommunicator Week, we're really focusing on what other people are doing and really trying to spread the word about how people are celebrating in the 911 centers, in the 911 authorities, what people are doing on a statewide level, you know, and really trying to push that conversation and just continue the conversation that we have about the fact that these people sitting behind the head, under the headsets, behind the consoles are an amazing set of people who are doing an incredible job on a daily basis. And, you know, they're truly the unsung heroes of public safety. They're the ones that are never seen, but without it, it wouldn't work at all. And it's unfortunate that the recognition only comes once a year, it seems like. And it's also unfortunate that the, you know, number of calls that are that go right, and then we only, you know, talk about the few that go wrong from time to time.
Yeah, that sucks. That was always a big thing that I hated. I mean, I hate it now. You know, that's all you hear about.
Right.
Everything that hits the news. However, I mean, there has been a lot of texting. You know, the text 911 stuff that's been going on. You know, that's been in the news as well, and that's actually been good.
Right.
And so that's good to hear, because then, you know, other dispatch centers who are thinking about getting into, you know, texting, you know, however they do it, they will realize that it is a good resource, you know, a right. good tool to open up another line of communication there for emergencies with the public, and that it's not overwhelming like right. people thought it was going to be.
Right, exactly.
You
know,
because you talk to people all the time, like, I don't know, I don't want to do that. Keep it out right. of the dispatch center because it's going to bombard us and we're going to be right. screwed. We're going to have to hire new people. Right. And yeah, it's going to be bad. Yeah, but it's not like that.
No,
I
actually went out yesterday, every day. I'm home this week, all week. Woohoo.
How often does that happen?
Not very often. Monday I went up to Hamilton County, Indiana, and mm-hmm. dropped off some fruits and vegetables and some stuff to thank them. And
did you post that picture today?
I did. I posted on Monday.
And then Monday. Okay.
Yesterday, yeah. I went out to Hancock County, which is my old center, uh-huh. and dropped off some stuff for them. And while I was there, you know, chatting with them, I saw their interface that you helped to design. And, you know, they got their first text message of the day while I was there.
Oh, that was
good. And it really wasn't cool, actually... And it wasn't an inbound text message. It was an outbound text message because they'd received a pocket dial or a hang up, and they were using that to communicate out.
That's
so
awesome.
It's great to see. And, you know, it's interesting to see that up on the screen and, you know, inbound text message or text messages for the day. And there's a big zero there. And it was noon, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, then by the time I left, it was one, you know, so it's not as daunting and overwhelming and scary as everybody's playing it off to be.
Right. Exactly. How about you, Rob? I mean, you're a director over at Vigo County. So how's it been working for you?
Oh, it's great. We've been live for, outbound for since November of 13 and inbound since like early March of 14. We use it on a daily basis. I think the last update to the 911 toolkit, we can actually see how many inbound and outbound we get mm-hmm. now.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, around, I think outbound, you know, we're average maybe 10 to 15 a month. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Inbound, we average 10 to 15 a month, and outbound, we're averaging about over 1,000 that we send it. We use it on a daily basis, and it's great. And every time I travel to these conferences that I go to and the topic of texting to 911 comes up, there's always a, oh no, we're not going to, you know, I'm so scared. Yeah. We don't want that. And I always say, I'm the first person to tell you that it is not, it's not a big deal. It's right. not the way it's going to be. So they don't have to worry about it. And they're like, well, I don't think so. And it's like, believe me, I've been there, done that.
Right.
Got the t-shirt. It's not bad. It's not bad.
Nice. Now, going back really quick to the whole, you know, Dispatcher Week and everything, you guys have a hashtag, right?
Yes. Thank you, 911. Hashtag thank you, 911. And then we're also using the general hashtag of NPSTW.
There you go.
Yeah. It's hard to do when you're not typing it out.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I was actually looking for one the other day. I posted something and I was thinking some people just had NTW and some had it all the way out. And I thought, well, okay, which one am I going to go
with?
Yeah, and
then the one when you start to using it on Twitter, it automatically populates NPSTW 2015.
Oh, nice.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
But, we aren't using the 2015.
they decided to trend something for you, and it's not even the one that you guys are using.
We don't want to trend that one, apparently. Right. We'd already decided on hashtags, and so
yeah, exactly.
We're trying to keep it with it. And then, so I'm Chris Nussman is our communications director, and he's at a conference in Connecticut this week. So at the Connecticut Telecommunicator Conference, working a booth. And so I've been in charge of trying to keep the social media up. My God.
Yeah, how's that been working?
It's exhausting.
It's about as much as you're traveling, huh?
It's, I didn't, you know, social media is cool.
Yeah, right.
It's cool when you get to do it on your, like, if you feel like it.
Yes. But when it's your job.
When you have to actually pay attention and actually be a part of a conversation and try and push stuff, it's exhausting.
Heck yeah, man. That's what I've been doing with all the social media for the podcast. And like when I first started the blog version of it, I mean, there was all of this stuff that, you know, I had to do in the comments and everything. And Victoria is in the background right now.
A real sneeze.
Was it a sneeze or a chuckle?
It was a sneeze.
I thought it was like a teehee.
It could have been.
Teehee. Yes. Okay. I said it in Spanish, but you didn't understand me. Oh, snap.
So you guys,
we're still cool.
You guys were like brother and sister, aren't you?
Yeah, she was telling, for those who are listening right now, we've got two people sitting in back of us who are also with, he told me it's Vigo County, by the way, and you two said Vigo. He's lying. we're all talking smack now, so yeah that's good stuff. So what are some of the news things that that's going on with Nina right now, especially with the education stuff?
Well,
you know, and the Friends of 911 scholarship and all that you guys are doing.
Yeah, Friends of 911 scholarships just closed on April 1st. No fooling.
And I was just going to say, are you being for real? Or?
yeah. Because once we came up with that deadline, I was like, that maybe was not the best deadline yeah, ever.
Right.
So, yeah, no fooling. It was on April 1st. And we're pulling all of the stuff together. We had like 75 applicants.
Wow. That's awesome.
This year. It's amazing. And so it's a really good second year of the program. And we're excited about it. And we're going to try and get those folks on your podcast at annual conference.
That'll be great. Yeah. Because that was good last year.
Yeah.
Getting them on there.
Yeah.
I think I got 3 of the 5. The other one, there was another one who was going to be coming up, but there was a class conflict or something like that. But yeah, definitely send them my way.
Definitely do that. And so we'll be making the announcements probably in the next 14 days.
Cool.
So,
and where do people find that? Where would they be able to find it?
Go to friendsof911.org. Mm-hmm. And there'll be the announcements on that. Yeah. And make sure that everybody's going to friendsof911.org to get their information about the Couch to 5K.
Oh, nice.
So that you can prep for the 5K run that's going to benefit the Friends of 911. And it's going to be on Sunday this year.
Oh, okay.
Instead of Saturday. So more people can participate because, you know, one day closer to the conference, there's a lot more people come in on Saturday than would come in on Friday. So we're hoping for a great turnout. And it's going to be one of the last 5Ks in the city of Denver.
I was just going to say, for those who don't know where Nationals is going to be, where is it going to be? But
City of Denver. Yeah. So take a little extra time to train because it is mile high. Mm. And but it is a very flat course, unlike last year where it was up an entire mountain.
Oh,
I don't think it was really a mountain.
It felt like a mountain.
Looked like a mountain, but it wasn't a mountain.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm dogging because I didn't walk it. I was not feeling well that morning.
What a jerk.
I didn't feel good that morning, so I was handing out moral support and handing out ribbons as people finished.
Did you could have given me some moral support.
But I did finish because I walked through and then I walked back through to my time when official on that. It was like only 10 seconds apart.
Oh, yeah, okay. So you did actually do it. I thought you were saying that you didn't feel good and you didn't do it at all.
No, I didn't feel good that morning. I was.
Did you have the poops?
How's it going? I did not feel well, so I didn't.
Oh, he didn't say no, so he must
have.
I handed out ribbons to the people that were
the McMullen squirts. Well, you know, okay, you kept going, and I was gonna say someone is running for a position, but I don't know if I can follow it with that. So, as we continue on. Hey man, you kept going, so I don't know what to say.
I'm sorry.
And now I can go into it. So you're running for a position, right?
I am running for a position. I'm running for second vice president of NENA, National NENA.
And for those who don't really know, you know, there's a lot of people, believe it or not, that don't know a lot about NENA. So what exactly does that mean?
It means I would be the on the executive board for National Union, which I am already now, but it's a 4-year commitment. So I would start as second vice president, move up to first vice president, and then I'd take over the reins as president and then finish out as past president. So I would be the kind of...
It's going to be a gangster.
Yeah, I'd be a gangster. just kind of the... just the president of the organization and kind of...
Cool.
You know, help lead the charge.
Help lead the charge and focusing on 911 and doing things that we need to get done and work on trying to make sure that every PSAP in the United States has 911, where several of them still in the United States still don't have it.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's still some that do or don't.
Yeah, there's still some that don't have it. Even as close as Illinois don't have a enhanced 911.
How is that possible?
And Missouri is really bad. There's several counties in Missouri that don't have any 911. It just goes to 10-digit. You can dial 911, but it goes into 10-digit. They don't get any type of
it goes to like an admin line or something?
Pretty much, yeah. 10-digit. Wow.
So there's no any alley. There's no none of that awesome stuff?
Nope. That's nothing.
None of the awesome sauce comes with that.
Yeah. Whoa. Do they have rotary dials still?
Pretty much.
Well, there's a squirrel in the back hall that's on a treadmill that's going...
It's like, there's too many nines in this.
I can't do it. Oh, I messed up. So now it's an 8. So
then you got to go back.
There's several. There's still several counties.
That's amazing.
And not just counties, but parishes, municipalities across the state.
Wow. So then how does the campaign work? I mean, do you just hand out flyers and say, hey, vote for me? Do you travel around?
You can travel around if you have...
Do you kiss babies?
I won't kiss babies. I'll shake hands. I won't kiss babies.
Shake babies either.
Yeah, that's good. I don't shake babies.
Because really, you will not win.
Yeah, there's really not too many babies that are involved that are ever at 911 conferences. Families have some. But for the most part, kind of go to travel around to conferences and do some social media stuff, website, Facebook, Twitter, just do some different things like that.
What are you doing for your website?
Just updating it. I've had a website when I ran for the for the North Central region, and I'm working on getting that taken care of and updated. And
I only laugh because of what you asked me for. So
yeah, I know. I get you. So, but mainly kind of working on some Facebook stuff, getting the information out, and just kind of get the word out, talk to some other chapter presidents, and hopefully vote for me.
And how do people vote? I mean, how does
they'll actually be able to go on? They can go online, and anybody that's eligible to vote as a NENA member will get that notification that they're eligible to vote. They can go online to NENA.org when the election comes time. I think voting starts on the 28th of April. Mm. I think it's sure. somewhere or Sounds somewhere great. Around that date. I can't remember off the top of my head, but they'll go on and you can vote. And
what are the qualifications for people to vote? Do you just have to be a member?
You have to be a member in good standing.
Whoa. What does that mean?
In good standing. Basically,
you've paid your dues.
Yeah, you've paid your dues. Okay. And you have to be
Is there tithing or something that I have to pay?
Yeah, you have to tithe. We prefer 20%. Basically, you have to, and you have to be a full member. You have to be a full member. Yeah. I don't think that the telecommunicator members.
As we're talking about the whole membership thing and everything. Okay, so I live in Indiana now, but I originally Welcome. yeah that's right. But I don't know. I went all out there. but when I signed up, I signed up as Michigan chapter.
Sure. Right.
But when I renewed. All of my credentials and everything are in Indiana. So do I still remain in Michigan? Because that's where I started out? Or how does that work?
You now are an Indiana NENA member.
Because it still shows me as Michigan. That's why I was wondering.
Well,
do I have to call somebody?
No. You don't have to. Just update your...
Just you and I talk. I did. I updated my profile.
So it may have shown that, but now that you've updated your profile, it will automatically update.
Ah, okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. I was just curious because, you and I had talked before and I asked you how that worked because the renewal was coming up and in digital, they pay for our renewals and stuff with certifications and everything like that. So I was just curious how that was going to work, if it was still going to show me as, Michigan.
Speaking of certifications, when are you going to get your ENP?
Oh, man. I'm actually going to attend a couple classes that talk about it. Michigan has one, I believe. Who is it?
Sherry Bartram.
Yes, and Glasgow. I don't remember his first name. He's with Barry County out of Michigan, but they have one of the best study groups. Yes. And when I'm in Michigan, I made sure to get a full registration so that I could go to those classes and learn more, because my bosses also want us to get those because of everything that we're doing. And I've actually wanted to, but I hear it's crazy. I hear it's like a crazy freaking test.
Well,
and the studying is nuts. So
you have to.
How about you give me a rundown? I mean, what exactly is it all about?
So the emergency number professional, for those of you who don't know what the acronym stands for, ENP, it really is about having a test that verifies and validates the fact that you have a broad base understanding of all of the things that go into emergency number professional. And it's 50-50 operations and technology. There's things about laws and fair labor standards laws, or FSLA, or all those acronyms.
You failed the test.
I'm a completely failure of the test. How to operate radio systems, how 911 calls come in, the technology, how to manage and deal with employees. Mm-hmm. It's every facet of the job as in emergency number profession. And that broad-based understanding is then tested in that test. And it's 150 questions.
My eyes about fell out just
yes,
now.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
And it's not easy. And
how many can I miss? Like two?
No, the passing score is set at, I think it's 105.
Yeah, 105.
Gotcha. Okay.
So you can miss 45.
See, but something that important, I would hope that I would miss like two.
Right. Yeah. Well, I would.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Hope so too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, one of the main things that I want to learn is the back end and call flow and how all of that works, especially because of where I work.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stuff that I'm doing now is getting more into that. So I want to learn more. I almost feel like, I really do need this certification so I can learn more, because some of the people that I work with, they've been working with this stuff for years and
crazy smart.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I look at the diagrams, I'm like, okay, I can pretty much figure out what's working here, but like some of the terms, ESRP, MSRP, all of this other stuff, Cisco switches and this and that.
Right.
It's like, well, you got to learn that stuff. I'm like, yeah, I do. But there's no like book with everything.
No. And that's a key thing to it is that there is a study guide that you can buy from NINA and a practice test to give you a kind of reference on what the test is like. It's 25 questions. Those are questions that are not in the bank, so you can't think you're going to like see those questions
right
again.
Of course. But,
one of the things that a lot of people talk about is the fact that everything's not in the study guide, and that's true. It's looking at the body of knowledge, understanding what it is it's on the test, and then deciding, okay, there's some certain things that are in the book and there's other things that are not, and I have to go out and find them. There's a lot of people who want to know why we don't have a course for it. It's not about a course. It's about lifelong learning. And it's then validation of that lifelong learning. You have to be able to meet the requirements just to sit for the exam. And that's a minimum of 3 years of experience in the industry. And I equate it to a lot of people thinking of it in the perspective of it's like a professional engineer. You have to be out in the industry for a while before you can sit for the exam.
Somebody's messing with Ty.
glad I'm not the only one that got felt up.
Exactly. Let him feel left out. He's over there. He was crying at first when it was happening to you.
Exactly.
So he's like, please let it happen to me. Just like that. That's what he sounded like.
it's like a professional engineers. It's like CPA. It's like, a number of of other things where surveyors, you have to have done the work. You can't just take a class and take a quiz at the end and right. say, I'm now an ENP. And it's also about maintaining it and giving back.
Right.
Giving back to the industry and, you know, teaching classes and participating. And really it's, you know, if you participate in standards development and doing conferences, yeah. Sessions like you gave today, you know, all that stuff counts. You know, you get points for being alive.
Sweet. That's good.
And then, you know,
you don't have to take the test
again. Then you, yeah, it's all about maintaining those points so you don't have to take the test.
That's the best thing. You don't have to take that test again. It's not like an EMD where you've got to recertify every 2 years. You have to take a test. This, you recertify every 4 years. But if you've got enough points to test out or to where you don't do it, it's like, ah, this is awesome.
Right. Sweet.
So, and taking courses.
That's pretty cool then.
You know, taking
I didn't know that.
Yeah, taking NENA courses is taking courses from other vendors. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about NENA.
Right.
Obviously, as the NENA Education Director, I want you to take as many NENA courses as possible.
Of course.
As please. As many as possible.
Plug.
Right. But, and, you know, the center manager course yeah. is worth 4 points. And that's 4 points towards the 10 you need to sit for the exam or 4 points that you need to keep your certifications up.
What's the center manager course? Is that the CMCP one?
CMCP. Yeah. CMCP
that one is
center
Indiana,
manager
right.
certification program. That's was in Bloomington last month.
Now, do you go to all of those?
Not all
he
of
teaches
them.
Most of them.
I teach a fair number of them, but I don't go to all of them. We have two other instructors, Brian Tegmeyer from Ducom, mm-hmm. out just outside of Chicago. And
I think I had him on the show once.
Yeah, maybe
you did.
Yeah. A couple of years ago at Nationals in North Carolina.
Yeah. Brian's a great guy. Mm-hmm. And he's an excellent instructor. And Jim Lake, who is the head executive director at Charleston, South Carolina. He is was an instructor and then stepped away for a while and then is coming back and is going to be an instructor again for us. So
he taught the actual very, did he?
He taught one the very
first one that was at the Indy conference at the Indy National.
Yeah. In 2010.
Yeah. He taught the very
first one.
He and Eric Perry.
For those who don't know, what does the CMCP actually encompass? Just like the gist, like what is it all
the gist of it? It's a 40-hour course.
Which is brutal from what I hear. A lot of homework.
It is brutal. There is a lot of homework. So it probably equates to about 48 or 50 hours worth of content. Mm-hmm. And it's 5 days long. And it's, you know, it's the equivalent of a semester-long college course. And it's as intense as a semester-long college course.
So this is pretty accelerated then.
It is very accelerated.
It's, wow.
It could easily be a 2 and 3 week course to where you can, to really get the most out of it that you, I mean, you get a lot out of it anyway, but it could easily be a 2 to 3 week course to where you could teach or to where you could go into so much deeper than everything that is gone into. Because there's only, you know, you only have 40 hours, so there's only certain things that you can touch on, and then that's where you kind of get the homework. But if you were really going to work on it and teach it probably the way it should be, it could definitely be a 3 week course.
It's all about giving tools. Mm-hmm. We pride ourselves on giving the tools that a center manager needs to be able to work in his position on a daily basis, whether it's understanding how to find the right people and put them in the right seats, to understanding liability issues, how to write papers properly and memos properly, public speaking, and all of those things. There's 25 units that are covered over the 5 days.
It's crazy.
It's fun though. I mean, it's crazy, but it is a lot of fun. And you meet people from all over the nation that take it. And you basically, I mean, you kind of develop lifelong friends from that because you work so close with them for that 40 hours.
Right.
And, you know, when I took it in 2011, and I still talk basically on a daily basis to some of those people, and, you know, follow them on Facebook or talk to them, follow them on Twitter, and you talk to them everything. Hey, I've got a question, and can you help me answer this? Have you dealt with this type of stuff? Have you seen this thing in your center? And they're like, oh yeah, this is what we did. And they help, you know, help that way.
So building that lifelong system of networking.
Yeah.
Where you've got that core group. And some of the other things that we do is trying to connect each one of the classes. We're up to 27, 28 classes now. Mm-hmm. And over 500 people have taken this class. I mean, we've had people from the Grand Caymans, Canada, the U.S., private companies, as well as dispatch centers. We've had a number of people from the federal government, the mega centers where they do the monitoring of federal installations. Jeez. They sent 3 people. The National Institutes of Health sent 5 or 6 people. The U.S. Marine Corps is probably one of the largest number of people that have gone through it. We had a class in Gainesville, Florida that Dispatch Dana took last year. That was Brian Tegmeyer's, one of his first courses that he taught. We actually had somebody from Okinawa, Japan fly from Okinawa to Gainesville, Florida to take the class. They were at a Marine installation there. And so it's
Mr. Miyagi?
Truly, yes.
Well, because he was from Okinawa.
Yeah. Truly an international. And we've done a class in Ecuador.
Wow.
I went to Ecuador and taught a class down there. So
that's awesome. Well, going into the wrap up of this episode, where can people find information about Nina? What are your links?
www.nina.org is going to be probably your main one.
That's yes. Good.
That's the national Indiana, www.inea.org. Friends of 911.org. Yep. Follow us on Twitter.
Yep.
911 Nina 911.
Yep. And education and training is Nina 911 training.
Yep.
On Facebook and Twitter.
We all have Facebooks, Twitter. Man,
you guys have as much stuff to plug as I do.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
awesome. Exactly. See, because all the times when I go into the wrap up of it, I'm the one who usually has tons of stuff.
5,000.
Yeah, well, you guys
Stitcher,
had it this
SoundCloud,
time.
Yeah, iTunes.
Well, thank you. Yeah, continue with that.
That's all I can remember. I've listened to a few of these.
All right. Well, thank you very much, both of you, for joining me on this episode. Finally, Yeah, he's back. Yeah, The Rock has come back to.
Finally, The Rock has come back to Indianapolis.
Yes. You gotta do the eyebrow.
Finally.
Oh, he did it too.
That's the Ty's eyebrow.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Finally, Ty is back in Indianapolis.
Well, for those listening, if you have any comments, questions, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us, and that's going to be wttpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at 901 Podcast. You can also find us on Facebook and like us. That is facebook.com within the Trenches Podcast. I had a lot of spit build up there.
Yeah, I get
All right, there it
and
goes.
Rob kept his mouth shut this time, so I shouldn't piss anybody off. So we don't have to say.
I always say if you have any comments or questions, or if Rob pissed you off, email the show, or you can email him, rob@hedoesn'tcare.com, or whatever. And let's see, you can listen to the show 24/7 on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, and thejabberlog.com. And once again, for the rest of this week, all this week at the conference, we are sponsored by Indiana Nina and InDigital. Have a good one.
I'll be back.